Welcome to Third Republic's Women in Tech podcast. As part of the series, we'll be interviewing community leaders, experienced professionals, and influential individuals around their experiences of pursuing a career in tech, as well as addressing what businesses and communities can do to encourage more women into the technology industry and informing the community by promoting awareness and creating more opportunities. We believe that most businesses understand that having a diverse workforce and leadership team that reflects its customer base will be more successful in delivering new and innovative products and solutions. And with the help of our inspirational speakers taking part in the Women in Tech podcast, we hope to play a part in making technology a more attractive and inclusive working environment for all. In this episode, we sit down with Jenny Hines, VP of Automotive and Transportation Solutions at Digital Management LLC.
Thank you, Jenny, for joining us on the Women in Tech Republic podcast. Could you just, to start, I guess, tell us a bit about how your career in tech began?
Yeah, thanks, Caitlin, and thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure for me to be talking to you today. So how it all began, first of all, it began a long, long time ago. And I grew up in Germany. So I studied at the Technical University of Karlsruhe in Germany. I studied something strange called economical engineering. And the reason I did was I wasn't very sure what I wanted to be growing up. So it was a great combination for generalists. You studied kind of a master's combination of a business degree and engineering and technology. At the time, there were no jobs available in Germany. It was a really bad economic year when I graduated. And so I had to trick myself somehow into finding a job. And Mercedes-Benz Research actually posted a master's degree opening at my university, and it was called Knowledge Discovery in Databases, and it dealt with research of their Mercedes accident data. And funny, at the time I was looking at it, I had to look up what knowledge discovery in databases meant. I wasn't heavy on my tech studies. I had to learn how to use Unix, and I remember it was like 1,000 pages of a book. So I really interviewed without knowing a whole lot of the subject, but I knew that I loved Mercedes. I loved their products. I wanted to work there. That really determined the destiny of me starting out in tech.
That's really cool. I always find it interesting, like talking to everyone as part of the series, about how they get into their career in the industry, because I feel like no one has the exact same path into tech. So it's always interesting to hear how everyone gets to where they are today. And speaking of, you're currently the VP of Automotive and Transportation at a global digital transformation consultancy. So what inspired you to pursue a senior leadership position in the industry?
Yeah, so my convergence into consulting actually happened quite some time ago in around 2008, because I ended up working and really enjoying working in the auto industry up until that time, since I graduated from the university. And so in 2008, consultancy as a world was very unknown to me. I used to be the customer. I used to work with a lot of consultancy firms and a lot of suppliers. And I was, always known to be kind of the firefighter, the problem solver. I think that was a bit of my reputation, always enjoying results and the accomplishments that come with helping people succeed and grow. And I did that with a lot of joy within the auto industry. But at the end of the day, looking into that industry and getting the opportunity or a job offer to join the consultancy industry, I looked at the idea of broadening my perspective of problem solving problems or growing business and being a strategic advisor, not just to one company and being that within one company, but really being able to be that type of an advisor for a lot of clients on a larger scale. And that was something that really intrigued me.
You mentioned there like quite a lot of soft skills, like problem solving and being able to kind of help people grow and I guess, you know, enabling people to succeed. Do you think that one of the main things about maybe going into a leadership position or becoming a leader in the space is to develop your soft skills? Like, do you think soft skills are a key part of being able to advance in your career, I guess?
When I think about the tech industry, it certainly comes with the need to understand technology, right? Just like if you move into kind of an engineering type space, you're expected to understand the intrinsic details of engineering or building cars or whatever it is. But at the same time, when we think about soft skills in leadership positions, I do think those are reasonably agnostic of any industry. And I do believe that they are very much needed, such as problem solving skills, communication skills, being able to see and define a strategy and deliver results. I think those are really, really key, no matter who you are and which industry you work in.
Yeah, definitely. And since your career in the industry began, have you noticed any change with regard to both women in tech, but then also women in senior leadership?
Yes, I sure have, although I don't think we're even close to you know, accomplishing what we're trying to do and seeing more women in tech and more women in leadership positions. So 26 years ago here, I'm going to out myself now with my age, when I graduated with my master's degree from Karlsruhe, there were only 4% of my classmates at the university that were women. And granted, it was a technical approach to a degree because you could choose to do your mechanical engineering for that part of the degree, or electrical engineering, or technology, or chemistry, or physics. But it was still very much, if you looked at the population in the classes, very much male driven. Mm. So it was very few of us in class and as we graduated. And then when I started at Mercedes back then, I was the only woman in the research and development team that I joined. And it was stunning to me. I guess I've never thought it that way until I just realized, right, what the situation was. Over the years, we've certainly seen more women in technology and in the leadership positions that we're talking about. And I do believe that, just like if I think back at my career, I've been very blessed to have worked with some great leaders, both women and men. They all had one thing in common. They were really, truly focused on people and growing people and their success. Because if you fundamentally focus on that, you will see the results in your work and in the business that you're looking for. That people encouraging, right, supporting them to learn and excel, I think having the right support system, and wherever we see growing numbers of women in tech and in leadership positions, you will always find that support system. And with every person I speak, every fellow woman that's kind of determined to make a change here, we all agree that that's super critical. I've been focusing all my career on mentoring women and have been really blessed to work with some amazing women myself. One example is Sue Unger. She's retired now, but she used to be the global CIO at Daimler Chrysler. She had one of the best global mentoring programs for her whole entire global staff, which was about 5,000 people. But she also did super interesting things, like start a program where small teams of us would go and volunteer to work with middle school girls in sixth and seventh grade. And we would introduce technology to them. We would show them how they could design their own websites for their schools and just give them an idea of what this is and get them excited. And I'm in touch today with some of those middle school girls.
Oh, that's amazing.
Who made their choice, right? And to me, it's almost like it doesn't really take a whole lot. It just takes some passion and some commitment. But we really are still incredibly, we have incredibly far to go to in our journey here. I'm trying to think. So Mamta Chamarthy, for example, at Stellantis, and Astrid Fontaine at Volkswagen are other great examples of amazing women in top leadership positions. And the difference there is they relentlessly focus on diversity. It's just part of their DNA. They don't stop talking about it. They Don't Stop Driving Results. And both of them have programs, as I talked about, right, for young girls in schools. They're consistently driving their vision, and they're making diversity a reality in their teams. It's just, it's not a question for them. It's not a challenge for them. They just do it.
Yeah, so, because I guess the key to getting where we want to be with diversity in the industry is to encourage that future pipeline of female tech talent to pursue careers in the industry. And the way to do that is to get more, like, to make women who are already having successful tech careers visible, isn't it? So whether they are in senior leadership positions or they're just starting out in tech, it's all about, I guess, like you said, kind of taking part in these programs and going and visiting girls in schools so that they realize that this is a potential career path. So I actually really like what you said as well about how it doesn't take a lot. It's just all about having that passion to want to go out there and kind of help make the industry more inclusive. Do you have any, I guess, top tips for other women who are looking to become senior leaders in the tech space?
I have lots of tips, so let me try and focus on the most important ones. I would say just be yourself. I can't tell you how many times I have met women who, and this is maybe a little bit antiquated, but along my career, I've met women who felt like they needed to be somebody else. They needed to be tougher, or they needed to, you know, not have any sense of humor or not be emotional. And I think that's not the right approach. I would say focus on your strengths, improve where you feel you lack in context of those skills for leadership. You need to be a strong communicator. You need to have good strategy skills, as we talked about, and focus on execution and results. For me, truly, results always speak for themselves. If you deliver results wherever you're at in your career, you will be noticed. And that stands true for women and men, right? And any diverse person in the workspace. I would say think big. There really isn't anything that you can't accomplish if you really believe in yourself. And we talked a little bit about that support network. Build a support network, find a great mentor. And along the way, you'll have multiple mentors, but really focus on that, ask for it. I've had lots of people come to me and say, hey, I love what I hear, I love what you do, would you be my mentor? And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't need to sit around and wait for somebody to suggest to be your mentor. You should absolutely be proactive with that.
If you don't ask, you'll never know. So you might as well just take the leap and ask.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I would say in addition, be brave. A lot of women somehow don't feel that the compassion that they show, the strength that they show, the abilities that they have in running their family and managing their extended family and everything that they do in their personal life, that they can't just translate that and be as amazing in the workspace. So back to being yourself, right? It's I think emotional intelligence that most women have very naturally is a very powerful tool that we should leverage more.
Just to touch on the support networks that you've mentioned, is, you know, if someone's looking to find their support network, should they look external to their organization, and, you know, or is it more, you know, should they see who's around in their current company who can provide support and help them advance in their career? Like, how would you I guess advise someone go out and look for their support network?
So from a mentoring perspective, I would always recommend that the mentor you have is outside your direct line of business. So you don't want to really pick your manager or your senior manager or director necessarily. Now, if you have somebody in mind who you think is a great leader and you don't interact with them personally a whole lot, but you have, it's somewhere along the lines of your line of business, that's perfectly fine. I would say whether it's internal to your company or you have a great social network and you have somebody who can introduce you to a great leader in your social network, I don't really think it matters. It's really about finding somebody who can help you, can coach you, give you advice, listen to you, and help you accomplish your dreams and your, you know, what's on your wish list that you want to do.
Definitely. Moving forward, like moving on just slightly, so having led multiple teams throughout your successful career, have you noticed any particular benefits when having like more diverse teams, whether that be like gender, race, age, anything, just like more diversity, I guess?
I would say everything is better. And what I mean by that is when you have a diverse team, you have a broader spectrum and background that that team can bring to the table. And the power and the beauty of that is that the broader your perspective of your team is, the greater the ideas are going to be that, that get generated collaboratively in that team. Perspectives on really anything that you focus on is different and broader and better. Building teams works out better when you have a diverse team. Improving your culture is better with a diverse team because of all the beautiful perspectives that can come together with that. Creating excitement and positive energy in teams. You know, I could keep going on and on and on. Diversity and inclusion is just so intrinsically important for businesses to be successful, to be more successful. And in my perspective, every single result that you will accomplish with a diverse team is going to be better than if you don't have it. And we see it now. We see lots of businesses really focus on that. And with some companies, it comes kind of naturally, and with some, it doesn't. But to be fully successful, you really need to establish that as a priority, as we said, as part of your DNA. And then also built it into, overall built it into your business.
Out of curiosity, do you think building like diversity and inclusion into a business's DNA, can it come from the bottom up? Like can people who work for a company, not necessarily in their senior leadership, can they advocate for, you know, more diverse teams and more inclusive hiring processes and things like that? Or do you think it has to come from the top down so that it, like you said, becomes embedded into the company?
I think we need both. If you think about modern workplaces, so modern companies who really focus on their people, who focus on their people's needs and wants, and who are really showcasing that, that's how you create great results. You know, places that are a lot in the tech industry, but also in other industries and retail, you really need both. There's a, you know, this may or may not be funny. There's a German saying that says the fish start stinking from the head. That actually translates really well. But what I'm trying to say is your top leadership needs to not just be accepting that this is important, but needs to absolutely live and breathe it.
Yeah.
Because without that top-down approach, you don't change culture in grassroots approaches. But we need the grassroots too. And what I mean by that is allow bottom-up the people in your team to help build your culture and change it and drive the objectives around diversity and inclusion. And if you do both, I think you see much faster results. You see diverse people with amazing backgrounds being attracted to your company if you live and breathe diversity, as we're talking about.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything that businesses should be doing specifically in order to encourage women into senior leadership positions? Or will that come naturally, I guess, as you create a diverse culture?
It comes naturally if you focus on that diverse and inclusive culture. I would say that if it doesn't come that naturally to you as a company and as a leadership team, then ideas like hiring a chief diversity officer who's properly and fully authorized is a great idea, right? Bringing somebody in from the younger generations who fully understand the concepts that are totally naturally, right? Would certainly be helpful. And then really, really focus on embracing the concepts into the business processes. So we talked about, what does that mean? You have to build it in on how you recruit and how you train and how you empower people for growth with your career paths. It has to really become not just a cultural and an emotional thing. It has to really get embedded into the processes within the company.
Definitely agree. I think it's like it's got to be a whole company approach. It can't just be like within one area of the company or one department. It has to be, like you said, the company's DNA, I guess. So I guess my final question for the podcast episode is, what do you think are the main benefits for both businesses and individuals of getting involved with communities like Women in Tech Republic?
Well, if we were already done with our mission, then maybe you'd be out of work, but we're still
That's
so...
That's very true.
But we still have so much of the journey ahead of us, which is incredibly sad since this has been something we've been talking about for decades now. But at the same time, I think we're at crossroads we didn't really imagine, to be in at this day and age. And so we absolutely need these communities and platforms. We have to have a mechanism to speak about diversity and inclusion and to collaborate together, to share the vision and what we're trying to accomplish. We need platforms where we can make connections, right? And be mentors and coaches for younger diversity folks, whether that's women or any of our folks that we're talking about here, to support them and enable them for success. And I really love what you guys are doing. I think it's beautiful support that you're providing to the community and enabling that platform. And I'm hoping to see even more global reach and more global results as we all continue our journey here.
Yeah, but thank you for joining me on the Women in Tech Republic series. I really appreciate it.